Hi, I'm Phil Palucha from Billionaires in Boxers, and you are set to watch or listen to Leslie Nace. Fantastic interviews, incredible insights. Stay tuned.
Welcome to The Client Whispers. I'm your host, Leslie Nace. In this series, I interview entrepreneurs about the importance of communicating, both in the physical and spiritual realm. What inspiration guided them on the path to success in their business and personal life? Stay tuned and find out. Welcome to Client Whispers, where intuition is the heart of innovative business. I want to know how creative, successful business people and thought leaders follow their dreams and make a difference in the lives of others. And did their intuition play a part in their success? My guest today is Mia Doucette. She works with professional, high-achieving women to stay ahead of their time, especially when they run into a brick wall. We'll ask her more about that. But I also want you to know she is the author of Strong, Successful Women, Share Stories of Childhood Trauma and Triumphs. Welcome, Mia, to the show.
I'm delighted to be here, Leslie.
Great. So tell everybody a bit about your background and how you came to work with highly successful women.
I missed what you said. How I came to work with, did you say women?
Right. Highly successful women. How did you come, you know, what's your background and how the journey you made?
Oh, it's been a very long, winding road, Leslie. My first career was high school teaching and then travel. And then I set up HR departments and then I did training and development and I worked with engineers and that led to interviewing thousands of Asians and writing a book about how to deal with Asians, how to deal with the Asian business culture. And then 2007, 2008 hit. And there went my business. So I thought, what do I do now? And I decided to go back to my first love, which is psychology. And I just found that most of my clients are women. And I really enjoy working with highly successful people. People who are already successful, but they've run into a brick wall. And typically it's because of something that happened in their past. Always it traces back to childhood. So that's how that happened.
You said that you decided to follow your passion. So along your journey, was that passion, something that was with you as a teacher in the HR, and what led you to finally, you know, what was the catalyst in that of following your passion?
When I went to university, my goal was to study psychology. But at the time I went to university, it was all pathology. And I didn't want to study sick people. I wanted to study well people. And so that's why I had set that aside. So after 2008, when I was looking at, well, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? I wanted to work with well people in something that had to do with psychology. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah, that's helpful. It's like you always had this, and that catalyst was 2008.
Yes. Yes. When the economy collapsed, my business collapsed with me because I had contracts with Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 firms dealing with Asia, dealing with South Korea particularly, and so there was no business because Asian businesses look at a five-year window to develop their business, and North American firms typically look at just this quarter, then that's how my business fell apart. That was the catalyst. It was a very painful catalyst, actually.
And yet, out of that, tell us about the business you have now.
Well, as you said, I deal with women, and I deal with highly successful women, just because it's good to define your market, right? And in my case, I don't know whether other people who work in the same vein that I do, I don't know about them, but when people call me, they always say I've tried everything and not had results. So I've worked very hard to find what can I do that gets to the heart of it so that people don't feel that way anymore, that once they've worked with me, they've got their problem solved. And for me, that led to learning how to change patterns at the subconscious level. Because we all have patterns and they come from childhood. And what we haven't known until fairly recently is that even infancy, you know, we're absorbing information and we're defining our patterns. And when we get into adulthood and we don't understand why we keep repeating patterns again, then it's because it's in our subconscious. And everybody now knows that the subconscious is, what, 95 to 98% stronger than the conscious. So no matter what we think we want, no matter what we've achieved, if there's something from our childhood that gets in the way, we need to work on it if we want to break through.
So can you give us a real life example of, you know, someone you've worked with?
Sure. There's so many different ones. I'll give you an example of a woman who co-owns her company, and it's an eight-figure company. And she had all sorts of issues, but the one issue that I want to talk about was social anxiety. And although she was second in command in her company, she was unable to stand in front in the boardroom and put forth an idea because in her company, people would, you know, tear it down and become devil's advocates and you know, shoot down the idea, and she just couldn't tolerate it. So we worked on this one day. 2 weeks later, I get an email from her saying, "You won't believe this, but I decided to present my idea in the boardroom." She said, "I was so comfortable. I answered all the objections." And she said, "That idea is going to bring in between $250,000 and $500,000 a year into our business." That's a good story.
That's a great story. That really, now, what are some of the tools and methodologies that you work with in order to bring about that change?
Well, I started with tapping, but I do tapping if in the work there's an emotional trigger. You know, if there's an emotion that's triggered, then we use tapping to bring that down to a level where we can communicate well. But I have, this is where my intuition comes in. I know what questions to ask or what statements to make. And then I get an answer from the person because the person's body never lies, right? So through muscle testing, I get an answer. And then if the response we get at the subconscious level is not in line with what is best for the person, I change it.
So is it like when you change it, does that person then have mantras that they say to themselves, or do they rewrite their story? How does that change come about?
What it does, I identify and then change the story. And then, well, you know how people talk about the law of attraction. And a lot of people say you just have to do affirmations. You just have to visualize. You just have to have a vision board. All that is fine and good if what you want aligns with what's in your subconscious mind. So I change the subconscious mind so that the person can do affirmations, can do visualizations, can do a vision board if that's what they want to do. I don't teach that. Other people do. But once they start, once they change the story, they can get a different result.
I think that's so key in what you're saying, because even in my own work, you know, there are lots of different tools, and not everybody is, you know, it's not a mold, it's not a formula, because we are humans. And there are different tools for different people. So I love that illustration. What are some of the hardest people you've had to work with?
Yeah, the hardest people to work with are people who have a resistance to the work. And when people have a resistance, it's because of a safety factor, right? I mean, our first goal, I guess, in life is to be safe. And you don't have to go any further than Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
Yeah.
At the base of his triangle is safety and security. So that it would be hard, and it would be hard for me to work with someone who didn't trust me or didn't trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people who are hard to work with.
Duh. Now,
but you and I, we know enough to have a process in place, right? So that we're able to determine early enough whether or not we want to make an offer to that person.
Absolutely.
Because if I don't feel that I can have 100% success, because I give a full 100%, I give 100% refund. So I want to make very sure I'm working with someone that I can guarantee success. So just ask a few questions and talk with them on the phone and get a sense. That doesn't happen very often.
Great. Now, do you work just in person with people, or do you work long distance as well?
Oh, I do some work in person, but almost all of it is by Zoom now, for sure.
And so how do people...
I'm very grateful for Zoom.
I would agree. I would agree. It actually has opened the world to us. And how do you find...
Wonderful tool.
It is. How do you find the women to work with?
My work is mainly by referral. Mainly by referral and by anything I've written. Recently, I had a client, I took on a new client who had looked for an answer for something, she said, for 9 or 10 years, and she found an old article of mine. And then she tracked me down. So that's how it happens. LinkedIn is a good tool for you and me.
Yeah. No, I like that, because that just goes to the longevity of the internet as a rule. When I'm searching for something, I might look at the date of the article, and I found one today that said 9 years old. So I was like, okay, I have to read this to find out if it's still relevant information for what I'm looking for or whether it's not. So, but to know that there are articles that still touch people, that your writing hit that, and she went, yes, that's me. I'm going to raise my hand. Here I am. Come get me. So tell our audience, tell us about how you came about writing your book. What was that inspiration?
Well, I think I told you earlier that when I'm working with someone, the challenges in a person's life always go back to childhood, right? So I've done a lot of work in that area with people. But also, I just love kids. And nothing makes me happier than to hear little kids' voices. Like, I love going to the supermarket and hearing little kids talk. I just love it. And it just felt like a natural for me to interview people. So I started by interviewing women. And I thought I might write a post. I might write an article about women's experiences as children. And it just blossomed into a book because I kept coming upon wonderful people like you, Leslie, with their story. And just one story built on the other, built on the other. And then before I knew it, your story is one of the exceptions. But before I knew it, it was a story. Every story had to do with trauma and struggle and real challenges in childhood that these women had the strength to overcome. And I thought, oh, that would be inspirational to anyone going through a hard time.
I love the book, and I thank you for including my story. But you're right, it took me so long to read this because of the heartfelt stories and the trauma that they win, but also the triumphs is so important. How many stories did you collect?
I collected 81 stories. I interviewed over 100 women. Well, I actually interviewed some men as well, and then made the decision that I would make this all women. Interviewed over 100 people.
So give our listeners a feel for what we're talking about, like one of the stories that really maybe struck with you in the interview and the woman itself.
Oh, wow.
I know it's a hard question.
Many.
I know.
Can I start with yours?
Sure.
Whenever I think about your story, well, first of all, I think about the drawing and I think about that barn and the cow. You get out of the barn and your grandfather coming out of the barn and your two cousins teasing you and you're smiling, you know, because the drawings always were to illustrate the story, right? So see from a different perspective. But what I love about your story was you're born with this stain and your mother goes to the doctor and the doctor wisely says, do nothing. Let her play. Let her be the extroverted child that she is. And I think, wow, if more people had that wisdom, you know, because in so many of the stories, I'm not quite answering your question, but in so many of the stories, I think, where were the adults?
I agree.
Where were the adults that their children badly hurt?
Right? Yeah.
But in your case, you had a grandfather who that your cousins wouldn't dare tease you about that when he.
Oh, no.
They have their ears boxed,
right,
as I recall.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
What I love about yours is the wisdom. And then that little story about you, you're very young and you're walking down the street and you're stomping your feet. And your mom says, what's the problem? I don't like those people looking at me. And she says, well, did you forget to smile?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so sweet. Yeah. But every story has its sweetness, even the ones that have to do with sexual trauma. Children being terribly under disconnection from the family, you know, dysfunctional families. Every one of those stories has a sweetness for me. I had someone say to me, I can't read that book because the stories are depressing. I think, really? Because they're not depressing to me.
See, I don't see that either.
Of the work I do, it's not depressing to me because I'm thinking how they had the strength.
I think the stories show a lot of resilience.
Yes. I think that's a key word. And the other thing that the stories show in talking about resistance is that we can change our story. you know, coming back to your story, you write that years later, you read your grandmother's diary, was it? You read something your grandmother had written, and she said that you had been born wrong. How different would your story have been if that's what you had heard, that you were born wrong, right? But your mother, that doctor and your mother changed your story.
Yeah, I'm, you know, she's a beloved grandmother who passed away years and years ago. And it really, she kept a diary every single day since she was something like 12 or 14 years old. And sometimes the lines were really small and sometimes they were paragraphs. But in her mind and her background, she was a tough farmer's wife. It wasn't an easy life for her. So she sees her eldest son, who has three children, actually. It was myself with a birthmark. The next brother down ended up having the flap on the top of his stomach didn't close, so he needed an operation. And then my younger brother is a paraplegic. He was born with spina bifida. So that was her reflection in her mind, went to they're born wrong, you know, and there must have been something in her life and her thought patterns that would bring that up. But did she ever reflect that in life to me or my siblings? No, she was very loving.
She must not have.
No, she was a loving, accepting woman. And that's the different. That was my father's mother. And it was my mother's grandfather who was the one who had the farm. I just want to back up for people to the setup of what you did. You talk about the illustration of the barn, but every one of these stories has a child-like picture illustration. And then the story below that. What inspired that? I mean, like, how did you know to pair those up together in creating this book?
The drawings were as much work as the writing because we wanted to get the expressions just right, right? And I wanted to be able to recreate what the child saw. So it's the scene. Well, in your case, it's not really from the child's eyes because you're not looking at the barn. You're not looking at your grandfather, but it's how you remember it, right? We had to get every detail right.
Those were very inspirational to have those drawings with that. What is some of the feedback you've gotten?
You know, Leslie, I did not get done. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to ask you, what is some of the feedback that you've gotten from the women whose stories you've told?
Wonderful feedback. And some of the women have written to say that their lives have changed since they told that story, because some of the women, it was the first time they had ever told that story. So it's had, you know, kind of a cleansing effect. Or they've understood things in their life that they hadn't understood before as a result of telling the story and reading it, right?
Nice.
It's one thing to have a memory. It's another to see it written on paper.
Yes.
Another, I imagine, to see it written in a book, right? It's all been, every woman has had a very positive response. Well, you know, she wouldn't have consented to have her story in the book if it hadn't been a positive experience or if she didn't want them. There were two or three women, Leslie, that I interviewed, and we had the drawing, and I was really happy with the story, and maybe had spent hours. I could spend hours on a story. I mean, I'm taking sometimes a two-hour interview and I'm condensing it to 375 words, right? Mm-hmm. And so there were two or three women who withdrew after they saw their story.
That's fabulous.
That was hard.
How did you end up with women all around the world? It's a very diverse, yeah.
Well, I had started to write the book, and again, I'm going to talk about LinkedIn again, and I read a story about a woman from Russia. You may know Eugenia Jordan. I had never heard of her, but she mentioned that she was from Russia, and I thought, let me see if I can connect with her and see if she would be interested in telling her story. And she was. So there, I had a wonderful story out of the USSR. And then she told people, she belongs to Chief, and she told people in that group about her experience, and five or six other women contacted me. So that's how it all started.
Great. Any plans to write another book?
Not at the present time. I do have a file in my computer, and the title is If I'm Ever Crazy Enough to Write Another Book. If I ever were to, and I don't think I will, but if I ever were to, then it would be preteen to teen years. Because when I said that I had interviewed over 100 women, some of the women I interviewed had a very touching story, but it would have been older than age 8, and that was my cutoff, was age 8. So I would have maybe 10 or so women to contact right away if I wanted to write another story. But writing that book was really all intensive for me, and I just want to get back to the work of my work, because it's that working one-on-one with women that I just love doing more than writing. Much as I love my book, much as I love every woman in the book, I love every story, I love every drawing, but I love the work that I do.
Yeah. So tell us the name of the book again and where people can find it.
The book is Strong. Successful Women Share Stories of Childhood Trauma and Triumph. And it's readily available at every Amazon location. You've got to get the title right, though. You've got to include at the end, illustrated in full. It's also going to be available very soon on Barnes & Noble, Kobo, different ones. But right now, it's Amazon. I would love, and right now I have the bookmark right down because I want 100 reviews. So the Kindle version has been marked down to $1.99. I couldn't mark it down any less because of the colored illustrations. Who knew that? Who knew that if to download a file in color, it was more expensive? You learn so much when you write a book.
You do, especially.
Even more when you start marketing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So there we go, folks. You know where you can find the book, and I really encourage you to go. It's a lovely read. Take a look at it. So any parting words of wisdom, things that you'd like to tell people that maybe we didn't touch on before we end our time together?
Well, we did touch a little bit on this, and that is that no matter what has happened to you ever, no matter the scars, no matter the trauma, you can rewrite your story.
I love that. That's so beautiful.
It isn't written to eternity that you have to live with, that you can rewrite your story.
I absolutely agree that you can rewrite your story. And how would people best get a hold of you?
They can contact me directly. My email address is mia@miadoucette.com. Easy, right?
Easy. and LinkedIn. Yes?
LinkedIn, yes. Under my name on LinkedIn. Facebook as well.
All right. So this has been an absolute delight to be and an honor to be able to chat with you today here on Client Whispers. So thank you.
Leslie, the delight and honor are mine. And I thank you.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Till next time, this is Client Whispers.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Client Whispers. Be sure to share this with friends and family. And you can drop me a line, info@lesliemace.com, or connect on LinkedIn. And remember, that whisper you hear might just be the inspiration you need for success.
Thank you for enjoying this content by Billionaires in Boxes. If you would like to be a guest or a host, be sure to get in contact with us at billionairesinboxes.com.